This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, before we get to Denton's news, I misspoke. The Green ejection was the first player to be ejected at least 4 times in a season since Durant was tossed 5 times in 2017-2018, according to ESPN stats and information. It was not multiple times, and I'm sure Rasheed Wallace was thrown out of more than 4 or 5 games in a season back in the day. All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, so we got a couple things. I do want to make one amend. I've been doing the trending nows, and I misspoke. The Caps and Maple Leafs are going to be here at 7 o'clock, right on Team 980, not 106.7 The Fan. It's Nats opening day, so they got a lot of national stuff going on over there.
Oh, got it. So we've got the game from Toronto tonight here on 980. Big game for the Caps.
Massive
huge
game. So I'm gonna be locked into that. I'm gonna have one screen on the NCAA tournament. I'm gonna have another screen on the Caps and Maple Leafs. Last time the Caps played the Maple Leafs, it was a bloodbath. So hopefully this tonight goes better.
Yeah, I mean, look, they have. I said yesterday, I think of their remaining games, they've got the 10th toughest schedule, and these next two, Toronto and Boston, are tough games. They still have another one with Detroit. They have a season-ending game, against Philadelphia. But they've got a game in hand on Detroit. They've got 2 games in hand on Philadelphia. So you get one of these next two, they're in really, really good shape with it. At that point, 9 to go. Right now, they're the favorite to capture a playoff spot, that final wild card spot over Detroit. With a game in hand and up 2 points, they're favored to get that spot. And I think it'd be awesome to see them in the postseason and see Ovechkin in another playoff series, because it's been a few years.
I think the city will be popping, too, if they make a deep run, or even just a somewhat deep run.
Well, they probably won't
do
that. They seem to exit after the first round as a rule, with the exception of 1 year.
So usually I like to give you like an entertainment story, but I was combing through entertainment news, and it's literally just all P. Diddy. And I was like, we talked about P. Diddy yesterday.
So what's the latest? Is he back in the country? Has he been arrested? I don't know. I'm not following.
He is back in the country. I saw a video. This is from about a month or two ago with the Rolling Loud Festival. P. Diddy pulled up to have a conversation face-to-face with Kanye. And Kanye West wanted no part of that. Like, you know, you understand how broken.
Kanye's been ripping him, hasn't he, on social media?
Oh, yeah.
And Kanye kind of called this.
Correctly ripping him.
Yeah.
And like, you're down bad if Kanye is avoiding you because he knows you're trouble.
How old is he?
He has to be 50s? In his 50s. Yeah.
He has to be, right?
Because he came up with Biggie in the 90s.
Right.
He's 54 years old.
54.
There's also some things.
So what did this raid produce?
I haven't seen anything about what the raid has produced, but I've seen things from lawsuits that have some very not nice accusations about Usher and Meek Mill. Mm-hmm. And you can use your imagination. We can't say the accusations on air, so use your imagination. But it's exactly what you think it is. It's not good. It kind of kills career. It kills the career of Meek Mill. Usher might be able to get away with it, but the Meek Mill career is basically done. You can't take him seriously anymore.
Well, if you can't say it on the air, I need more information to know specifically what it is. Is it underaged?
No, it was with Diddy.
Oh, it was with Diddy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Cat Williams warned us. Yeah, I don't know if you're a Cat Williams fan, but
Cat Williams on social media.
He tried to warn us. He said it. Anyway,
All right.
Speaking of some L.A. stuff, the Shohei Ohtani thing is only getting worse. In an article from the L.A. Times, it was reported that apparently—
By the way, you know, because Meek Mill is a Philly guy, is this my imagination— Or is Josh Harris, have we seen Josh Harris hanging out with Meek Mill at like a game?
They might have sat together because Meek Mill went, when he got out of jail, he went right to a Philadelphia 76ers game. But I don't think Josh Harris was the one that hooked that up.
Okay.
It was Michael Rubin and Robert Kraft.
Got it. All right. What else?
So the Shohei Ohtani story continues to get worse and worse, it seems, for Shohei Ohtani. According to the LA Times, he has hired the same crisis PR team that represented Alec Baldwin, Hillary Clinton, and Harvey Weinstein. The law firm portion of this firm represented most recently Danny Masterson, Army Hammer, and Prince Andrew. This is not a good graphic to be a part of if you're Shohei Ohtani, and it doesn't seem like this is someone that you hire if you are innocent of no wrongdoings.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a really interesting situation because of the language barrier, and also where, you know, his finances are kept and managed, whether, you know, it's primarily here or it's primarily in Japan. I've read a little bit just about the complexity around all of this, and I think we're going to find out ultimately with the investigation that language barrier may have had a lot to do with it, especially with his friend and interpreter. But, you know, look, he is so important to the game right now. He is so important to Major League Baseball, and they're going. By the way, who's in the investigation is being done by the feds, correct?
I believe so. The MLB might do its own investigation after, which is usually how that tends to go. But right now, it is by the feds because it's a charge of theft, and I think $4.5 million.
Look, the bottom line, based on his statement the other day, is if Mizuhara, I think his name was the interpreter and friend. If he isn't charged with theft of $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani, then Ohtani knew what was going on. I don't believe that Ohtani bet on games. I believe that this was a Mizuhara issue. But it would seem to me that if they were as close as they apparently were, unless Mizuhara literally was given power of attorney or was able to talk Ohtani into, you know, signing documents because of the language barrier that he shouldn't have signed. But it's also, to me, still in play that Ohtani was trying to help a friend out and loaned him the money and wired the money on his behalf to an illegal bookmaker. I'd love to know, like, you know, at what point the bookie said, you got to pay up, we got to settle. I mean, everybody that's ever bet illegally has a settle number because you bet on credit. You know, I've had people ask me before, what's the difference between betting illegally and legally? Well, there are several differences, but the big difference is most people who bet illegally bet on credit, you know, and then the bookmaker collects from the bettor, you know, at some point, whether it's at, you know, once a week or whether you have a settle number, you know, like, hey, you get to, you know, being down $500 one way or the other, we'll settle. You know, some people have a much larger settle number. I would imagine if he knew that this was the interpreter for Ohtani and that there was access to a lot of funds, that the settle number wasn't $500 or two dimes. You know, it may have been $250,000. Who knows? But Yeah, that's the big difference. And the real issue is when he did the interview with ESPN, the reason it was shut down is there was this clear not or lack of understanding that California wasn't a legalized betting state and that these bets were being made illegally. Because I don't think there's anything that would have prevented Shohei Ohtani from helping out his friend in a gambling debt situation if the bets were made legally.
That's a good question. I don't know how Major League Baseball would go about that. I also think you have to be down incredibly bad to be 4.5 in the hole legally. Like, it's borderline impossible because you're not betting on credit, as you mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how many people have, you know, access to whether it's Bitcoin or credit cards or whatever, that kind of ability to get into that hole. They wouldn't, or to put that much up front, because again, when you bet legally, you have to have it all up front.
I would imagine that this whole process would get him to start investing and learning English more easily, or to be easier with the English to avoid stuff like that. Because if it really was the language barrier that caused this, you now have $4.5 million to learn English.
Right. All right, what else?
So did you see that John Anderson is leaving ESPN after his contract is up? He's been on SportsCenter. I didn't realize this for about 25 years. That's an incredible amount of time to be with the mothership.
Really? You know, he, in those early days when Scott was doing SportsCenter, Scott did a lot of work with John Anderson. I always thought John Anderson was pleasant and good. I always thought he was decent. Yeah, I mean, I watch Scott's SportsCenter when I'm up, and I record it sometimes, and I'll watch it in the morning. I don't watch a lot of SportsCenter. So is Anderson still been a prominent figure on SportsCenter?
I believe so. I'm with you. I don't watch it a ton. I'm just not up anymore, and like I'm not in a position where I think they still do it at 6 o'clock. I'm not entirely sure. I do wonder if kids in the younger generation look at SportsCenter the same way that I did when I was young, because when I was younger, SportsCenter was always on. It was always on in the day household. So I do wonder if kids of a younger age feel the same about SportsCenter. I hope they do, but I don't know if they do anymore.
There's one person that has always stood out to me as incredibly likable and incredibly solid as a SportsCenter anchor. And I'm not talking about like going back to the greats, you know, that have done it. But the guy that, and I think he still does it from the West Coast, I really like Stan Verrett.
Yeah.
Like, I've always really liked him. I think he's really good. I think he's really likable, solid. And I think he still does a lot of the sports centers. I think he does.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he was doing it last night for ESPN. I think Verrett and Anderson, when they first started doing LA sports centers, were teamed up together. I'm not 100% sure, but I think
Neil, who is one of Scott's and is a really good friend of Scott's, and he called it quits here in the last year too. Neil, I think, was among the first to go to LA.
Then it was Neil and Stan. I guess John was.
It was Neil and Stan, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was Neil and Stan, not John. But John did. He did Wipeout. If you remember the show Wipeout when it first debuted.
I don't remember that show.
It was like it was a goofy ABC show with like obstacles and people were falling in the water. He was really good at that.
All right. What else?
I got a couple of quick college basketball stories for you. Obviously, we're on the beginning of the Sweet 16 later tonight. Patrick McCaffrey entering the transfer portal. He is the son of Fran McCaffrey, which means he is leaving his father's team.
Where is he going?
Not sure yet. I think he just entered the transfer portal yesterday.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I mean, Patrick's an okay player. It's his older brother, Connor, that's dating
Caitlin Clark,
and he has graduated. You know, sometimes when you see something like that, maybe he's going to transfer to, you know, an Ivy League school or, you know, a huge upgrade academically, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to play for his father anymore. That's possible, too. But look, for me, you know, the Terps have been very active here. Kevin Willard's been very active here at the beginning of the portal, and things are going well for Maryland in the portal right now. Do you want to share
with
us?
I was just about to transition there. The first good thing is, speaking of the transfer portal, Juju Reese is not entering the transfer portal, so he's staying. And then they got a really good player yesterday from Belmont that they'd been going after for a little bit. So that's huge news for the Terps.
Yeah, so they signed, they got in the portal Jacoby Gillespie, point guard from Belmont, was second team all conference, first team all defensive, but he can really shoot it, average over 17 a game. This was, I think, number one priority for Kevin Willard when the portal opened. They also signed Virginia Tech guard Rodney Rice, who went to DeMatha. Jacoby Gillespie, by the way, not a local. He played in Tennessee, I believe, high school basketball in Tennessee. But this is a guy who's 6'1", and he's the guy that Kevin targeted to replace Jameer Young. Rodney Rice will be part of the backcourt. Getting by the way, they're not done either. I would imagine that there's still something to come. But Julian Reese staying is a big deal. Look, Maryland fans are mixed on him. He has not really developed a consistent offensive game. But, you know, when you enter the portal and you're looking to replace a guy who's a true rim-protecting defensive stopper like Reese is, and an outstanding rebounder, by the way, it's not like you can just go find another Julian Reese out there. It's not that easy. They've got Derek Queen, a five-star kid, coming in. But it's looking better for next year. You know, right now, I guess the projected starting five would be Queen, Reese, Gillespie, Deshaun Harris-Smith, and maybe Rodney Rice, maybe Jamie Kaiser Jr. But they'll still add to this class. And apparently Geronimo coming back, Jordan Geronimo, still has a year of eligibility, and so does Jahari Long, so it's possible both of them come back. But the kid Gillespie from Belmont was being chased by everybody in the portal, and it was a big get for the Terps. He's got 2 years of eligibility left, so they needed to really improve their scoring, and with Jameer Young leaving, their backcourt, and they did that with Gillespie. At least the people that follow this suggest that was a big get for them. So good for Kevin Willard. What else do you have?
That's all I got for you. We're just rooting for the Caps tonight. Go Caps.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk some Sweet 16. We get four games tonight, four games tomorrow night. I've got a smell test for picks tonight. I'm 10-9 so far in this tournament. I feel lucky to be 10-9. We'll do that when we come back. I do want to mention Window Nation. March is one of those months where you get a change in weather. It's a time to embrace the warmth. It's been rainy. It'll be a little bit warmer the next few days. But as the seasons shift, you should be thinking about if your home is ready. And windows are a place to check first. If your windows are 10 years of age or older, you need new windows. If they are cracked, if they're leaking, if they're hard to open, or if they're hard to lock when you close them, you're losing money on energy bills, and you're not also letting in that fresh spring air when you have your windows open. Say goodbye to those frigid drafts and sky-high heating bills with Window Nation. For a limited time only, buy two, get two free with no money down, no interest, and no payments for 2 full years. So you're paying half price because you're getting two free on every two you purchase, and you don't have to start paying half price for 2 years. Window Nation's got a professional group. Their installation teams average over 10 years of experience. They'll get in and out of your home in one day. They've got a lifetime warranty on the windows they'll sell you, which should give you peace of mind for years to come. Join the thousands of homeowners who trust Window Nation, including me, with your most precious investment, your home. Mention this ad and get your free no-obligation quote now, so you've got nothing to risk. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com to schedule that in-home estimate. Again, no obligation, and it's free. Don't let another season pass you by. Call Window Nation today and tell them that Kevin Sheehan sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sweet 16 tonight, first four games feature in order Clemson and Arizona to kick things off in the West region out in L.A. Just after 7 o'clock, that tip, Arizona is a 7.5-point favorite. Then at 7:39, you get the East region, which is being played up in Boston. You get UConn and San Diego State. UConn right now. There are some 12s out there, and so I am going to use those 12s here momentarily, but 11.5, 12-point favorites are the defending champs in a rematch of last year's national championship game. Then at 9:39, back to the West in L.A. for Carolina and Alabama. The Heels is a one seed. They are 4.5-point favorites over Alabama, and then the last game tipping off sometime after 10 p.m. from Boston, Boston's TD Garden, Illinois and Iowa State. Right now, Illinois' Terrence Shannon, probably along with Mark Sears at Alabama, two of the players of the tournament so far. Look, I thought the tournament was pretty good. There were a lot of blowouts, but there were a lot of memorable games. And you end up with great matchups in the Sweet 16 because we saw all of the favorites advance. Like tonight, I'm looking forward to seeing what Clemson can do against Arizona. I'm not a big believer in Tommy Lloyd's team necessarily. Brad Brownell's never had any legitimate success. I think this is only his second trip to the Sweet 16, and he's been at Clemson now forever. Chase Hunter's playing really well. He's in addition to rebounding and scoring, he's got like four or five steals in two games in their wins over New Mexico and Baylor. Both games were games in which they were underdogs, even though they were the higher seeded team against New Mexico. They were the underdog. I mean, I give Clemson a shot tonight against Arizona. The Carolina Alabama game, I mean, there are two things about tonight. I didn't think they could make a point spread high enough to get people to bet San Diego State against UConn, and I am right so far. The line keeps going up, and the overwhelming action is still on UConn. And I didn't think, Denton, that they'd be able to make a total high enough for people to bet the under in the Alabama-North Carolina game, but I think they did. It's 173.5, the total in that game, and the action is pretty split on the over and the under. But good games tonight, good matchups. I think in some ways, you know, tonight and tomorrow night are kind of equal in terms of the storylines. Again, you don't have, you know, you don't have a small conference team. I mean, I understand that Gonzaga is and that San Diego State technically, you know, but these are teams that have been big time tournament teams. NC State's the lowest seeded team. But I think we got two really good nights of Sweet 16 games coming up. I'll get to my smell test picks here in a moment. But of the four games tonight, Denton, the one you're looking forward to watching the most is what?
So I'm all over Illinois and Iowa State. I think that is the most compelling matchup to me, just because you have one team that's really good at offense with one really good player, and then you have another team who I couldn't really name anybody on that team, but I know they're really good at defense. So I'm intrigued by how Illinois State is going to end up playing out. And then, I mean, UNC is my champ, so I want to see them perform well. I'm very upset that the Illinois-Iowa State game is at 10. I'll stay up and watch it, but just I'm upset that that's the game at 10 and not the games that are in L.A. tipping off at 10. That's weird to me. I hate when they do it that way, but I understand you want UNC.
Well, they had the
time.
First game of the day on, was it Saturday or Sunday, was Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it was dumb.
11 a.m. local time. I don't know why they can't figure that out. Why would you, when you have East Coast and Midwest options in particular, why would your first game of the day, which tips off at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock, no, it was 1 o'clock Sunday, why would it be in Salt Lake City? I don't understand that. Like, there were plenty of options on Sunday. That first game of the day on Sunday was Colorado Marquette, right?
Yeah.
And that was in Salt Lake.
I mean, I guess it's because they want to position certain teams in bigger windows.
Was that in Salt Lake?
Yeah, it was.
Was that the game I'm thinking of?
Well, if it wasn't that game, it was the round of the 64. It was one of the day or round of 64.
No. Games. It was one of the – because they have the standalone games on Saturday and Sunday to start the day, right? And so that first day was – one of the 2 days they started in Salt Lake on Mountain Time, and it was 11 a.m. local time. So I think that was Sunday. It was a great game, the Colorado-Marquette game. Don't get me wrong. It was great.
That game was in Indiana.
Okay. Then was it Dayton, Arizona
the day before? It must have been. Yeah. That would make more sense because you have Arizona on the West Coast. Yeah. So that started 12:45 our time, which is about 10:45 their time.
Yeah, that was Salt Lake City. You're right. That was Saturday. You had so many options on that day to tip off in an East Coast time zone or a Midwest time zone at 12:45. That would have made more sense. But anyway, beyond that, you were saying about tonight.
So, I mean, I'm intrigued with North Carolina and Alabama. I mean, we just saw Alabama not score a lot of points and not allow the opposition to score a lot of points. So how that's going to fare, I'm intrigued with. I think it's hilarious that San Diego State and UConn, which is literally a rematch of the championship last year, feels like it's getting zero attention. It's just flying under the radar because nobody thinks that San Diego State stands a chance against UConn. I can't blame them. UConn's a juggernaut. I don't know how you stop them, especially if you're a team like San Diego State where you don't have as much talent. I do think, by the way, that Clemson could pull the upset over Arizona. If you're looking for an upset today, it'd either be Clemson or Bama.
So the San Diego State UConn game, I don't think that anybody's giving San Diego State a chance. And I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm going to give them a chance to win the game. I am going to give them a chance to cover, and you'll hear that coming up here shortly. But the kid Jaden Ledee has been really, really solid. They are a very good defensive team. The issue for them, and they shot lights out against Yale. They beat Yale by like 30. In that second round game after Yale had knocked off Auburn. And they made 13 of 27 from behind the arc. That's the key tonight. They're going to get occasional stops. I could see them playing, a tough, hard-nosed game against UConn for a while. Some teams have, and then eventually they just run out of gas and UConn runs away from them. At the end. But the only way you can stay in these games against almost anybody at this point is you've got to knock down three-point shots.
Yeah.
Have to do that. And they haven't been a good three-point shooting team, San Diego State, during the course of the year, but they were on Saturday. And sometimes you have teams that have guys with decent strokes that don't have high percentages. And you should, I guess it's easy to say that over the course of 30-some games, the percentages, you are who you are. But we've seen teams that haven't shot it well and come in as a low-percentage team, but they get hot. And it's usually because actually the guys shoot it well. They just haven't had as much success with the final result, meaning it comes off their fingertips okay. Last year, San Diego State was in it in the first half, and then UConn kind of pulled away towards the end of the first half and ended up winning that national championship game by 17. I think they will defend. I think they're well coached, but they're going to have to score. They're going to have to knock down big time some three-point shots. And I'm talking about they're going to have to make, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 to have any chance to cover. I mean, Northwestern was a good three-point shooting team during the course of the year, 4 for 15. You know, if they had knocked down a couple more, they would have had an easy cover and the game would have ended up somewhere inside 10 points. But they couldn't knock down shots. I'm not even going to look at UConn's first round game against Stetson. San Diego State and Northwestern are sort of similar, but I am kind of looking forward to seeing if UConn's going to get tested. You know, everybody seems to get tested at least once, and maybe that comes for you know, with UConn in the next round. But so here are my plays, my smell test plays. There are two sides that are massive public sides tonight. They are North Carolina and Connecticut. I said at the beginning of the week, I don't think they'll be able to make a number high enough to get the public off UConn. And that's true. That line opened at 10. It went to 10.5. It went to 11. It's at 11.5 in a lot of spots. It'll go to 12. This is actually overwhelming public money moving the line. It's not necessarily sharp money. I talk a lot about most line movements are typically sharp bettors moving lines. In this case, they're trying to get people. They're trying to incentivize people to bet San Diego State, and that's why they keep upping the number. So there are some 12s out there right now. So I'm going to take San Diego State in the smell test plus the 12. Understanding that every sports book, legal and illegal tonight, will need San Diego State to cover. And then the public loves North Carolina off of their impressive showing against Michigan State after a slow start. And Alabama just can't guard. They can't guard anybody, but they can score, and Mark Sears is having a hell of a tournament. That line is perceived to be short by the betting public, so they are all over the heels. I'll take Bama plus the 4.5. Those are the two selections. I thought I was going to bet the under or need the under in that game, but surprisingly, there is a lot of under action on Alabama, North Carolina, two teams that no one would be surprised if this game ends up in the 90s or even the hundreds. We've already had some regulation 100-plus point both team games. I mean, we had Colorado, Florida, 102-100. So those are the two sides. Clemson, Arizona is actually somewhat split. I thought I might need Clemson. And I thought for sure the public would be betting heavily on Illinois, and they're really not so far. That action is somewhat split as well. So the two plays are San Diego State plus 12, Alabama plus 4.5. I'm 10-9 so far on my tournament smell test picks. Feel very lucky to be that way, considering how big of a weekend the public ended up having last weekend. It might shift back starting tonight. We shall see. Looking forward to the games. Got a couple of other things to finish up the show with when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Big night tonight for the Caps. They're on the road against the Maple Leafs as they're in the middle of a playoff chase. Puck drops at 7. You can hear it right here on the Team at 980. That's because on 106.7 The Fan, they got you covered with all of the Nationals opening day content that you need. Nats open the season in Cincinnati with the Reds here at 4 p.m. on 106.7 The Fan. The Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx are no longer for sale. It was announced today that the ownership group, potential new ownership group, featuring Alex Rodriguez, did not take advantage of the 90-day option. The 90th day on that option was yesterday, and now the team is no longer for sale. But the current ownership group says they will work to figure something out with what was supposed to be the new ownership group. And that's what's trending.
So we talked about early in the show, and I'm just looking at some tweets from various people during the show. Tom wrote a column. It wasn't even really a column, per se. It was more of a report, actually, making people aware of what had happened at Arizona State with Jaden Daniels and Jaden Daniels' mom, who was part of an NCAA investigation that she was cleared of any wrongdoing. She was not implicated in any wrongdoing. But there were reports in an athletic story going back to 2022 about the access she had when her son Jaden Daniels was the quarterback at Arizona State. And Tommy basically had, you know, found, and he does this a lot as a reporter and a columnist, he found this story and made everybody aware of it. Didn't necessarily have a super strong opinion one way or the other about it, but in this sensitive day, God, so many of you are total, just way too hypersensitive. Read the story. Read the column. In February of 22, Jaden Daniels' mother was given, quote, uncommon access to the program, particularly early on. Some staffers in the past jokingly referred to Jackson as a coach. The dynamic became an issue inside and outside the locker room. One former athletic department staff member said Jackson's presence around the football facility was unlike anything seen in his career. There was an investigation of improper recruiting, which apparently she was at first thought to be involved in by paying for flights for recruits during COVID, but she was not implicated in any wrongdoing. In fact, Tommy goes out of his way to say this was never an issue at LSU. She was not given that same level of access, and never speaks to whether or not it's important for Jaden Daniels to be supported by his mother. It's not the point, you dummies. It's not whether or not someone like Tom feels like Jaden Daniels should have family support. Of course he does. It's the fact that she had unbelievable access that one person close to the situation said they had never seen before when he was at Arizona State. Clearly, Brian Kelly put an end to that at LSU. I think the most important thing here is we are living in a day and age where parents and families are much more recognizable. They're much more out there because of social media. Now, with respect to parents being involved in someone's job, coming to work with them, no, that should not be part of a professional operation, of a real company. Nobody should be, I shouldn't be going to work with my 24-year-old son at his job in New York. That, I think most adults understand that. But he was a college student, and it didn't happen at LSU. And by the way, some of her tweets, which kind of threw a lot of the people at Arizona State when they left to go to LSU under the bus, were made by her, not Jaden Daniels. So none of this, for me, is a concern at all. You know, this is something that I'm sure the team has looked into and probably understands what happened at Arizona State and how it got fixed at LSU. But, yeah, he's entering a professional environment at this point. You certainly, if you're professionally run, which this organization was not for a long period of time, you're not going to let parents have access to things that other parents don't have. That's what RG3 had when he was here. Again, that wasn't even RG3's fault. To a certain degree, it was, because he wasn't self-aware enough to understand that it was hurtful to him and the team. But that was Dan Snyder that enabled that, that entitled that. But my God, read the column, read the story, rather than take somebody's word for it or take a headline for it. It was more of a report about this history at Arizona State. I thought it was very interesting. I had never heard it before. I think it was a good job of him uncovering it. It doesn't mean anything as it relates to it. And it's certainly not a hit piece. He's done those before. Trust me. Tommy's had some big-time hit pieces before. This is not a hit piece at all. We will end it with that. Enjoy the hoops tonight. Big one for the Caps against Toronto. Did we even mention that the Wizards' losing streak came to an end last night in overtime against a New Jersey Net team? Did you see their uniforms? Look up the New Jersey Nets uniforms from last night. What was that about?
The Brooklyn Nets?
That's right. What did I say?
You said New Jersey.
Nets. Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets. All right, we're done for the day. Back tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!